Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. And this week I've got a treat for you because I wanted to not just have the talks with all the runners. There's so many podcasts that talk to, you know, all the great ultra runners and everything out there, but there's this story that goes behind all the ultra runners, and that's the people that get the ultra runners to the finish line. And I got a chance to watch this guy during 6 days in the dome, and I was just so amazed by his ability, his enthusiasm, and just everything that it took for him to get Megan Eckert, his beautiful and incredible ultra-running wife, across the finish line at 6 days in the dome with a first-place finish. And so I was like, let's bring Joe Eckert on to talk about what it takes to get an ultra runner to the finish line. So, Joe, you ready to go for a run?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Awesome. So let's start off with what's your background? What are you doing when you're not, you know, getting Megan first place finishes all over the world?
So my background, honestly, I like to run. I do, and I do like to do some of the longer distances. But I don't have nearly the dedication or consistency that most people who call themselves runners do, I don't think. So, you know, man, I just kind of get out there when I feel like it. And
okay.
Kind of leave it at that. Yeah.
And what do you do for a living, Joe?
I manage a soft goods department over at the REI here in Santa Fe.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah. It's you know, I spent a long time in laboratory automation, and when we moved out here to the mountains, it just seemed like a better fit. So,
cool. And what part of New Mexico are you guys in?
So we're in Santa Fe.
Oh, cool. Santa Fe is beautiful.
It is.
Cool. So now you and Megan have been married, is it 6 or 7 years?
So I think we just had our fifth anniversary. I believe.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
God, I hope I'm right on that. But yeah.
Don't worry. Yeah. I don't see Megan anywhere around with a skillet, so you're good.
Nice.
That is awesome. So when did you start crewing for Megan?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to go back more than a few years. I guess when she first started running some longer distance races. But I don't know. In the beginning, there wasn't much crewing, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, it was just kind of utilizing the aid station. She would run 100 miles and I would run like 20
right.
or something like that. And, you know, I did what I could when she would come through, but it wasn't any sort of organized crewing, honestly.
Okay. So basically The start was just kind of making sure you were at the aid station seeing what she needed?
Yeah, exactly. You know, she'd be running a race and I'd be working an aid station, or I will have, you know, finished maybe my shorter distance run and would kind of just back her up as she finished out her race. You know, it wasn't really until just a few years ago that I really started truly crewing for her, where we had, you know, we had kind of like the food planned out and, you know, what time she would be at what aid station. It was just kind of going back the last 2 or 3 years that we really kind of started going hard at the crewing aspect of it, I guess.
Okay. So like when you started that, I mean, is it like a plan that Megan puts together and you follow it, or do you help put the plan together?
No, it's Megan putting the plan together. You know,
okay.
I'm very fortunate. Megan knows herself really well, and she's really good at keeping pace when she's running a race. So, you know, when we start the race, you know, we've got pretty much three sets of plans. You know, let's say for a typical 100 miler, there would be that kind of A goal pace, B goal pace, and C goal pace. And once she kind of gets through that first time that we meet up with her as crew, we always plan on the A pace. And she kind of lets us know what she's doing when she comes into that first aid station.
Okay. So like recently, did you crew her at Angeles Crest?
No, she ran that one solo. I saw
solo.
Her, yeah, wow. I saw her take off on that, and then I saw her cross the finish line. That was
okay.
Yeah.
So Jackpot Ultras is which was the one, which is the 55-hour one where she got mad amounts of miles?
Yeah, so that is Snowdrop. And that's another interesting one because we both run that one together. So again, that's another one that she's doing that one on her own as well.
Wow. So
Yeah.
do you do the whole 55 hours also?
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay,
Yeah.
good. So you're right there with the insanity.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So when you showed up at 6 days in the dome, what like this is the first time she's done a multi-day, right?
It is, yeah. So this is the first time where, other than the 55 hour, that was really the first time she had done any, significant time period.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you were coming into 6 days in the dome, did you kind of take what she had done at 55 hours, the snowdrop, and just kind of extrapolate that up, or how did you come up with the plan?
So honestly, on that one, we got very lucky on that. She's good friends with Mike Dobis and Joe Feos, and they kind of helped us out with sort of like almost like an outline on what Joe had done in 6 days and what some other runners had done in 6 days. And we kind of took a look at the way they had run and slept and paced and kind of worked off of that for the 6 day event.
Okay.
Yeah, so Megan kind of took a good look at that and kind of planned what kind of pace and what kind of mileage she would want from each day and when we thought, she would need sleep and how much time we thought she would need. And that's kind of what we worked off of.
Okay. Now, had she kind of learned that in some of the backyard ultras that she's done, or?
100%. Yeah, those backyard ultras, she was very, I mean, she's always been very good at pacing herself, but I think those backyard ultras are really where she learned how to trust crew, I think, enough to just kind of let go and just worry about running.
Okay.
Trust crew enough that she could really just turn off her thoughts on that. And just to kind of listen to us as she was running and take in water when we told her to and kind of take in calories when we asked her to as well. So, and I think that's really where she learned how to really work on operating with almost no sleep at all whatsoever.
Okay. That's amazing. So when you went into 6 days in the dome, with your knowledge crewing her at some of the backyards and that type of stuff, did you have like a plan what the first day was going to go, how long she was going to run until she went down for a nap, or were you playing it by ear the first day?
Well, no, we had that all planned out. We had it planned out to as far as how often she would be taking water, what kind of amount she would be taking. We had that all planned out to the minute, honestly.
Okay.
Now, we didn't necessarily stick to that the whole race, I'll tell you that much. But it
Right.
was a good guideline.
Yep. So first day, did it go as planned?
Absolutely. Yeah, the first day went brilliantly. We had a great time the first day. I think we were worried that she was going to go out too fast that first day. I think that was our biggest concern. And I was a little worried that she was moving a little too quickly. She was definitely we kind of had like an ideal time range for each loop. And she was definitely on the low end of that time range that
Okay.
first, which worried me, I think, a lot more than it worried her. Yeah.
Right. So, like when she finished up that first 24-hour period, were you at all concerned about how she was moving, or were you like, okay, she's got this nailed, or what?
Yeah, I was pretty confident the whole race, to be honest.
Okay.
There was very few times where I had any doubt, really.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I
So,
mean, end of that first day, yeah, we were in a good spot.
okay. So, like on day two, what type of adjustments did you have to make day two as a crew?
Yeah, so day two, what we weren't really prepared for was how much sleep and how tired she would actually get. I know we knew that second night is usually the kind of worst night for her when it comes. Oh, sorry about that. So I was saying that second night is usually when she starts to get tired and really feels that fatigue. And that's typically when she really has to fight through it. And we know once she gets through that second day and that second night, she's pretty smooth sailing after that. At least that was the assumption. But yeah, it's always day two is always the tricky one for us.
So now, does she have like a time of the day where she's t tends to fade out, or is she pretty solid throughout?
So she's pretty solid throughout the day, but for her on that second night, between I guess about 10 p.m. and maybe 4 a.m., she really tends to struggle.
Okay.
And again, it's just the fatigue, it's just the being mentally, physically tired. Yeah, but that's when she has to really fight the hardest, we find.
Okay. So as her crew, what are you looking for?
So what we're looking for is pace again. We're always watching that pace, but we're kind of watching how she's reacting to her own running as well. So I know when she starts to get tired, she feels like she's moving slow and starts to get frustrated. So we're watching for verbal cues and just really at that point making sure she's taking in fuel as well.
Okay. So now when it comes to fueling, I know that you guys had like a rock solid plan on the fueling. Where does that come from, just experience with the backyards and like the snowdrop and that type of stuff? Or where does the fueling plan come in?
So the fueling plan comes through all of Megan's training and all of her races, really. So she does train and she does practice fueling. I don't think she does it as often as she'd like, but she does practice with different types of fuels to kind of see what works for her. But most of it is just experience from previous races. So yes, definitely the backyards played into this. She discovered some foods that worked with her at the backyards, like those little applesauce squeeze packets. So she did discover some things that worked when nothing else did. Her main go-tos are just from her experience in general.
So, as her crew, do you have to remind her to eat and drink, or is she pretty good about telling you when she needs it?
In a typical race, like a 100 miler, she's usually very good about monitoring herself. It's not something we worry about so much. She comes into an aid station, and I haven't seen her in 12 miles, and both her water bottles are still full. Then it's a discussion. It's something to talk about. But she's a very strong runner, and she knows her body very well, so it's not typically something I worry about that much. But during the 6-day race, like I said, trusting crew is really important. Once we got through day two or so, it was very much every half an hour, we would just jump out there and hand her a water bottle and expect her to drink a certain amount as she did the next loop. And then, so twice an hour, we'd get out there with water. And then at least once an hour, we'd get out there with at least two choices typically for her to pick something to eat as well.
Okay. So now on the choices, did you, because you always seem to have like two or three choices, like the loop before she was coming out. Is it a discussion on like the loop before that you had about what she was going to grab, or how'd that work?
So definitely, if there was something she was specifically in the mood for, she would be vocal. And she knew that, this is one discussion we had ahead of time. And it was if she asks for something, she knows she has to give us time to get it to her. Luckily, we had so much stuff with us at our table that 9 times out of 10, we'd have it ready on the next loop. But every once in a while, maybe she'd want mashed potatoes or mac and cheese, something like that. In which case, it may take 2 or 3 loops to get it prepared for her, and she was ready for that.
So, how many Uber Eats deliveries did you have during the 6 days?
Honestly, we did one Uber Eats delivery during those 6 days. It was just the one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, seriously, it was just the one. Now, we did have some crew that came in and helped us,
Okay.
and allowed me to get a little sleep. So they would bring some stuff in as well. So, it would have been probably about three deliveries had we not had the help we had.
Okay. So as a crew, I've always told people that when you go to crew people, like I've fired people from, like crewing people because it's like you've got to take care of yourself. So what are the things that Joe does to take care of himself mentally and physically when you're out crewing?
I don't know that there is a lot. It's always important to rest as much as I can. I know that sometimes during a race where you will need to solve problems, during 6 days, Megan did have some physical issues, obviously. So she had some issues with her feet and her ankle. And we had to kind of work through that, and you really need to be on point for that. So I think rest is the most important thing I do for myself. Eating, even that kind of tends to take second place. Definitely rest is the most important thing I think I can do.
Right. And then have you taught yourself how to take care of blisters and tape feet and apply KT tape to the places that it's needed? Is that something that you watched YouTube videos, or how have you learned how to do that? Because you did an excellent job of that.
So honestly, I learned how to do that through experience just by having it done to me. So when it comes to taping and stuff like that, Megan is very good and very specific. When she comes in, if there's something that needs attention, she knows how to do it, and she's not shy about making sure we do it right. But as far as blister care and stuff like that, honestly, I learned that just by watching people who are very good at it do it to me.
That's awesome. So, what are some things, because you kept your attitude like one of the most strongest positive attitudes I've seen for an entire 6 days. What do you do to keep your attitude so positive?
What I try to do is just focus on the goal, right? I know a lot of people would probably say they like to distract themselves and stuff like that. And I don't know, for me, it's just staying focused. And honestly, Megan loves running so much that it is not hard to kind of stay in that upbeat, very positive kind of mode. Megan is always, even when it's the tough part, I feel like she almost enjoys it more when it's difficult. But yeah, it really just staying focused. Again, I kind of feel like it's exceptionally easy for me only because Megan is the runner I'm taking care of. She's so low maintenance, gets so much joy out of it. It's infectious, you know?
Yeah.
So, geez, I don't know. It was easy. I find it's not too difficult, you know?
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
awesome. Because you had fun all 6 days. I don't think I ever saw you with a frown even on your face.
Yeah, and a lot of it is the other runners as well, So getting to talk to you and getting to kind of develop a relationship with you as you were running your event and all the other runners, and just, it's just especially when you see those runners come on the course and they're fresh because they're doing a 48 or a 24, right? And
Oh
their
yeah.
feet are pumped and they're all pumped so I don't know. I'm just always in such awe of what all the athletes are doing that it's just, I don't know. I find it pretty surprisingly easy, I guess, to stay upbeat.
That's awesome. That is amazing.
Yeah.
So, what's next on the Eckert family schedule?
So coming up, I mean, Megan's got Big's Backyard coming up. What else is Megan doing? I mean, gosh, I feel like there's so many. It's just unbelievable. But that's the next real big one that's coming up.
Okay, so will you go to Tennessee and crew her for that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I
Okay.
definitely love something. And that is,
That's gonna be amazing.
I can imagine. I can't wait. It's also hush hush, and there's like I feel like I don't know anything about it, so I'm really, really excited.
That's the best part about Laz. There's
Yeah.
going to be some amazing athletes at Biggs this year.
Oh my God, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be nuts. It really
Yeah.
is. And you know, for me, I it's just such you know, and we've been doing this for, you know, 5, 6 years now or whatever it is. The more people we meet, and you know, the more races we get to go to, it's just the people you meet are, it's just unreal, you know.
Yeah.
It really is insane. The community, it's just incredible.
So what's a dream race of yours that you'd love to see Megan do so that you could crew?
Hard Rock is one I'd really love to see her get to do. I know, you know, she goes up there each year and she loves to volunteer and just kind of be around that race and be a part of it. I'd really love to see her run that race, and I'd love to crew for that race.
That would be awesome. So, biggest thing that you've learned about crewing through the 5 or 6 years that you've been doing it, and your favorite thing about crewing?
My favorite thing about crewing, that's a pretty easy one. My favorite thing about crewing is just being there when the runner crosses the finish line. Seeing the joy on their face when they know that they've run a hard race and they've run it well and they've run it to the best of their ability. I really think that's the payoff, without a doubt. I think I really love being in the thick of it. I love it when it's tough. I love it when, you know, you got to kind of give your runner a little kick and send him back out. That rarely happens to Megan. I'm usually trying to hold on to her, but honestly, it's the finish line. That's definitely the payoff. Now, as far as what I've learned, I think the biggest thing I've learned from crewing is just to remember that it's the runner's race. You know, I think it's important to remember, you know, as much as you have invested in it and as much time and energy as you've put into it, I think really it, you know, it's about the runner, and it's just remembering that it's all about the runner, you know, and
Yeah.
taking care of them. And I think that's the hardest part, because it's real easy, I think, to kind of get invested in it and kind of take things, you know, as a win or loss for yourself. But it's really just about the runner. And I think remembering that is the most important thing.
That's awesome. It's kind of like that servant leadership type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, without a doubt.
That's awesome. Okay, so we'll kind of start wrapping this thing up. So the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So we've chatted a little bit. What's the first thing that pops in your head when you hear Living an Ultra Life?
The first thing that pops into my head when I hear the ultralife, honestly, is sitting in like a grass field and seeing the start slash finish line to a race and all the runners kind of gathering. And yeah, I just picture being in it, being there on the day before a race with everyone showing up excited and nervous, and man, just the energy.
There you go. All right. So, last question. When Megan crossed the finish line at 6 days in the dome, what was your reaction?
My reaction was just one of relief, honestly. That is the longest time we've ever been out there. It's the longest distance Megan has ever run continuously. You know, I was just kind of thankful that the race was over and that she was safe and that she had done as well as she had done and that she could really be proud of it. You know what I mean? But I was really just thankful that it was over and that we were. You know, her more than anything, she was just safe and sound and finished.
Awesome. That's awesome. It is so evident to see your incredible love and dedication to Medigan, and kudos to you, Joe. I mean, it's rare to see that, and you're a phenomenal man to kind of put your ego in check and, serve the superstar wife. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mike. No
You
doubt.
got
Yeah.
it. You got
Just
it.
I'm just lucky to be part of it, you know?
Yeah, that was an incredible 6 day race. Well,
Yeah.
Joe, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us, and have an absolute blast at Biggs. You're gonna love it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.